99.44. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, everybody. Listening to Swap. As has been going on for quite some time now, Swap Shop is kind of put in the closet. Let's put it that way. We will be more than happy to take any swaps that you want to do. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. We'll be more than happy to put them on for you. We just have not had a lot of luck during this terrible pandemic that we've been going through. But you can call and make, try to get rid of some of your tchotchkes, 740-383-9944. Or you can give us a call if you have some sort of event that you want to mention, like a nonprofit organization is having a bazaar or they're having a meeting of some sort. You're more than welcome to give us a call. Or if you're interested in buying something, you're looking for somebody that has something, give us a call. We'd be more than happy to put that on and mention it several times. But since we still haven't gotten our shots, a lot of us haven't. Supposedly, I can sign up for one after the 1st of February, but it sounds to me like it's going to be hard to get them for a while. But that's one of the things that the current new president, Biden, is going to try to help to correct. So what we're going to do today, instead of if we don't have any calls, we're going to go over a lot of inaugural trivia. Or history, I guess you'd call it in this case. It's not really trivial, is it? But I want to thank also Fred Malone did a great job. And he's going to finish that up in 4 weeks or whatever the third Thursday of February is. Looking forward to that, believe me. The third Thursday of February is can't get here soon enough because that's about the time I start to do my gardening inside. Actually, I have a lot of gardening stuff going on right now. Last night we had our salad with some of my spinach leaves and some of my cilantro leaves and some of my very small lettuce leaves. We just sort of sprinkle them over the top just to make me feel good. My wife lets me do that. They're pretty small, but, they're mini herbs or mini, what do they call them? There is a term for those, but we chop them up and put them, well, we don't even chop them up. We cut the leaf off. It's usually a little tiny, and we put that in our salad, and we pretend like we did taste the cilantro quite a bit. I guess baby cilantro is kind of taste a lot. Anyway, so today we're going to go over some of this trivia revolving around the inaugural. Wasn't it a beautiful inaugural? They did such a nice job. But Amy Klobuchar, I'm sure, was very involved in most of it, and she needs to get kudos. I don't know who designed the fireworks display, but that was the best I have ever seen in 74 years of any. And I've gone out to Washington, D.C. Well, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 3 years while I was in the service. They have beautiful fireworks displays on the 4th of July. But this even went beyond that. So it was gorgeous. I couldn't help but cry a little bit during that. There were tears of joy, right? Now, it was kind of interesting. One of the questions that we have is who had the shortest inaugural address? Who do you think had the shortest inaugural address? Now, it was not his first address. It was his second address. And it was George Washington. In his second address in 1793, it was less than a tweet. It was 135 words. Pretty short. He must have said, "Hi, everybody. You know who I am. Talk to you later." It was very short. 135 words was the shortest. Now, Joe Biden's inaugural address was 2,552 words. I don't know who counts all those words, but I know computers do it now, but back in those days, I don't know who did it. Joe Biden's didn't even scratch the surface of William Henry Harrison. His was the longest at 8,464 words. Now, I was going to look up how long a page is and then try and figure out how many minutes it would have taken. But I would guess that 8,460 words would have at least taken an hour, right? Maybe more than an hour. Well, but it doesn't tell us. So, and I don't think I found that anywhere in all the questions that I looked up on the inaugural. But that kind of interesting. Joe Biden's was 2,552. The shortest was Washington's second at 135. And the longest was William Henry Harris at 8,460. Yeah, well, the inaugural was beautiful, but I'm not sure anybody would have wanted to stand out in the cold and listen to 8,460 words. It was kind of interesting. You know, if you were watching after the fireworks, there was quite a round of applause. And I was wondering, who did that come from since there was no one there? Well, my wife pointed out there were 25,000 National Guardsmen there, and there were several hundred policemen that were there. So my guess is that's who applauded. All right. Anyway, let's get back to some of the other trivial questions revolving around the inaugural. So help me God has come into the oath that they take. And the question is, does that appear in the Constitution? No, those words do not appear in the Constitution. The words, "So help me God," do not appear in the oath as mandated by the Constitution. Chester Arthur included them at the end of his oath in September of 1881, after the assassination of James Garfield. So it's become customary since then to add "So help me God." I believe Pledge of Allegiance, which now says it talks about in God we trust, that was added right around 1952, 53, 54, somewhere around there, where there was a lot of concern about communists and stuff like that with the McCarthy thing. And so they added that. I guess that was going to shoo away the communists. But it wasn't in the original Pledge of Allegiance. It was added. There are a lot of people, especially, you know, my particular religious stance. There were a lot of people with my particular religious stance that were really offended that you had to say, "In God I trust," that sort of thing. It doesn't bother me at all. If that makes you feel good, that makes you feel good. It makes everything better for you, and it doesn't hurt me a bit. Not a bit. Sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't. It's just up to the way I feel at that time. Now, it would bother me if somebody was angry at me for not saying it, because it's not in the original Pledge of Allegiance. So it would kind of annoy me if somebody got angry with me for not saying, referring to God in that. But I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to lose one night's sleep over it. I'm not going to even lose 5 seconds of sleep over it. And I think we've got to learn how to kind of deal with each other that way. Whatever you believe is your belief. Doesn't hurt me, unless you believe in, killing people or something like that. But leave it alone. Let other people be other people, all right? All right, anyway, who do you think organized the very first inaugural ball? No, it wasn't Mrs. Washington. It was Dolly Madison, who was the wife of President James Madison, organized the very first inaugural ball, and that was in 1809, and that was for his first term. So she decides she must have been a party girl, Dolly Madison, one of the more famous first ladies. And I think there's a product called Dolly Madison, Dolly Madison sweet buns or something like that. Anyway, she was the first one to do it. Let's see. How many presidents have chosen to affirm rather than swear to faithfully execute the office? You can say, and that is in the Constitution, I believe, that you have a choice of either saying that you affirm what you're saying, or you swear to what you're saying. You affirm faithfully execute the office, or you swear to faithfully execute the office. You're given, as president, that's the one choice you are given when taking the oath of office. And you know what? Only one person, Franklin Pierce, back in 1853, took advantage of that for religious reasons. Most of the nation's presidents were sworn in and said they affirmed it. I believe that's what it's telling me. I'm looking back here through my notes to see if it tells me whether whether Pierce said he affirmed it or he swore to it. I think he affirmed it. Swearing's a bad thing. I'll have to look that up. I'll get back to you on that one. Most of the presidents were sworn in on March 4th. Even though we do it on the 20th of January now, the 20th wasn't ratified until 1933, and that's when it was switched to January 20th. But prior to that, most of the presidents were sworn in on March 4th. The problem was, apparently, and I think Fred Malone talked about it earlier today, the problem was that there was an awful long period of lame duckness between presidents. If you had to go from when the person was elected all the way till March 4th, it was five months. That's a long time to be a lame duck. So they moved it to January 20th. It's still a long time, but it's a lot shorter than it used to be. All right. Yeah, and I was looking over my notes. I'm sorry. As you hear dead air for a few seconds there, I'm sorry. But it was affirmed that it would be, or it was decided to be at noon on the 20th of January. No matter when the 20th comes, whether it comes on a Sunday or it comes on a Tuesday, that's when it's going to be held, on the 20th of January. And That's when it switches over. And that was kind of an interesting note. I don't know if you were listening earlier, this was the first time there were two nuclear footballs passed, because the codes were known by Trump when he took off in Air Force One, and when he landed in Florida right after that, Biden became president. So they had to switch the codes for the nuclear football from the Trump football to the Biden football. And that's the first time there were ever two active. Well, they weren't active. One of them was active. The other was not active. But that's the only time there were two nuclear footballs being carried about. Okay, let's go back. We'll start at the beginning here. I'm trying to pull up the notes. Not doing such a good job here. You are listening, by the way, to a Swap Shop, which will, I think, once we get the inoculations going and it gets to be more springtime, I think it'll pick back up. And we'll keep reminding you that this is Swap Shop Hour until we get there. And as we get closer and closer, I'm sure we'll have more and more people. Who was the very first president? Now, this is something that Fred kind of gave away in the first 2 hours. Who was the very first president inaugurated for a term limited to the by the Constitution? Who was the first president who was inaugurated after they limited by the Constitution the number of terms that you could be president? No, it wasn't Truman. A lot of people would have thought Truman, but it was Dwight Eisenhower in 1957. He became the very first president inaugurated after the passage of the 22nd Amendment, which says that a president can only run for two terms. Now, if you happen to take over because a president was assassinated or died of health reasons or left the office before his term was up, that does not count. That it counts, but it doesn't count as a full term. So you were allowed, let's say, Lincoln was shot, and if the 22nd Amendment had been ratified before that, then his predecessor or the person that followed him would have been able to go two terms plus the number of days left on Lincoln's term. Got it? I guess. Who was the youngest president elected at the time of the inauguration? Now, we know it wasn't Biden. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden is the oldest president to take to do the inauguration and take the oath of office. But the youngest, well, a lot of you that are my age will remember this well because it was made such a big point of when it happened. At 43 years, 236 days, John F. Kennedy was the youngest president elected. He was the youngest president elected. That's the key word there. Teddy Roosevelt was only 42 years, 322 days old when he was sworn to follow after the death of President McKinley. So even though I remember when Kennedy was elected and inaugurated, everybody was saying how he was the youngest president ever. But it wasn't quite true. Teddy Roosevelt was, looks like he was about almost a full year younger than John F. Kennedy. But he was sworn in after the death of President McKinley. Okay, this is kind of interesting, especially for those of you who are close to my age. I remember my very first black and white television was about 1952 or 53. It wasn't mine. It was my parents, obviously, because I was very young then. But the very first televised inauguration, when do you think that was? That was a long time ago, but not as long ago as I was born. I was 3 years old when this happened. Well, I might have been two. It kind of depends on when it happened compared to. And yeah, I was only two and a half. In 1949, the inauguration of President Harry S. Truman and Vice President Albin Barkley was the very first to be televised. Now, I'm not sure too many people saw it. Back then, not very many people had televisions. Maybe in the big cities, there might have been a few people. And I'm sure there was gigantic gatherings at somebody's house if they had a good old black and white, probably 12-inch television. A lot of people would gather to watch that, I'm sure. But there wasn't a huge crowd nationwide watching that, I'm positive. Let's see. This is a good one. Where is the oath of office found in the Constitution? Now, get your Constitution out. I mean, I know we all have one of those pocket size constitutions, right? Not all of us. I have a big one. The one I have is not pocket size. But the oath of office is found in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 8 of the Constitution. And it reads, let me read it to you, okay? Before he enter on the execution of his office, this is what is said. And this is the following oath that a president is required to say. Now, it says that he is required to say, but who knows? It may change. We now have the very first female vice president, Kamala Harris, and so maybe we'll have a female president eventually. But this is the oath, and I mentioned it can say, there is one switch here. You can say swear or affirm, and I'll read it to you so you know where it is. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will do to the best of my ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. You notice that? It points to the Constitution. It says nothing about I will honor the Republicans or I will honor the Democrats or I will honor the previous president or anything else. You will execute the office of president as laid down by the Constitution of the United States. We've had a lot of talk about that recently. A lot of people trying to figure out whether they can't turn our democracy into maybe a kingdom. But it didn't happen, and so we are still using the same oath of office. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do to the best of my ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. You know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people don't like it being quite so rigid, but the Constitution is not rigid. How many amendments do we have? 28, is it? And so it is constantly able to be changed. Now, you have to get a lot of votes. You have to get a lot of states to agree to it. But it can constantly change and has constantly changed. We've added the rights of African Americans or, you know, people other than whites. We've changed the Constitution to allow women to vote. Now we have a woman vice president. We've changed the Constitution in and out of allowing you to drink. So the Constitution is a living document that is able to change. It's not easy to change it, but it's able to be changed. This is one that I'm pretty sure that Fred Malone gave away before we got it. Where was the first inaugural held for George Washington? Where do you think that was? You know, if I had had to have guessed, I would have said it was held in Philadelphia. But I would have been wrong. It was not held in Philadelphia. Constitution was written in Philadelphia, and that's where the Articles of Confederation, I believe, were done. The first inauguration was held in Federal Hall in New York City, and that's where the first Congress was assembled. And that is a fact that I had never heard before. New York City, Federal Hall, and that's where the first Congress was assembled. That's kind of interesting. I always thought the first Congress was assembled in Philadelphia, but it was not. Now we hold everything in Washington, D.C., but it was held, some of the inauguration was held in New York City, then it moved to Philadelphia, and then, I believe, and then to Washington. And Fred pointed out that Washington, D.C. was not called Washington, D.C. Back in the early days. It was called Washington City, as opposed to Washington District of Columbia. I was unable to find out why, whether if Washington, D.C. was made a state, which there is a lot of movement toward that now. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but there's a lot of talk about that. Would it cease to be called Washington District of Columbia and just be called the state of Washington? Which would take up about three quarters of a million people, I believe, something like that. So it wouldn't be a tiny state. Size-wise, it would be pretty small. I'm not sure how you would compare it to the little tiny state. Anyway, you know, out there on the East Coast. All right. Whose inaugural address contained the phrase, and I bet you're going to get this pretty quickly, the phrase was, "The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans." And that could almost be said in this past inauguration, even though our president, Joe Biden, is the oldest president ever to give an inaugural address, the torch has kind of been passed in the fact we now have a senator who is selected in Georgia, who I believe is 28 or 29, Osla, and there are a lot of very young senators and congresspeople now, as opposed to days gone by where the average age, I think, Fred said the average age back at the time of Lincoln was like 60 or something like that. Anyway, they were a lot older, and now the age has gotten younger and younger maybe our education has gotten better and better, and we have brighter and brighter young people. When I was a youngster, and we were having the Vietnam War, we were afraid that young people would never have any say. And we had lots of riots back then. They weren't riots as much as they were demonstrations that turned into police riots. The one I went to in 1968 outside the Democratic Convention, there would have been no riot if the police hadn't squeezed us down and started hitting people with batons. Mayor Daley in Chicago was very much opposed to young people telling the world what they thought. As a matter of fact, I believe that's when the phrase came out, the whole world is watching. I think that was a term that the Chicago 7 kind of started us all chanting as the whole world was watching at that time. I don't know whether they were watching with disgust or watching with hope or what they were watching with, but the whole world was watching back then, and it made a world of difference, the input of the young people back then. And the input of the young voters now. In Georgia, Stacey Abrams really sparked the interest of both African-American people, Hispanic people, and young people. Young people turned out to vote way, way, way above what they had in the past in Georgia. And so we may be coming into a new era where the young people will have way bigger say in our politics than what we have now. And I believe, I'm not sure if this is true, but I believe sociologists believe that younger people tend to be more liberal in their beliefs politically. Now, it worked the opposite way for me. I was a very staunch Republican up until Nixon. And let's see, when Nixon took over, I guess I was, I'm not exactly sure how old I was, late 20s, maybe. I'd have to go back in. Yeah, I think I was mid 20s. Anyway, I believe I became far more liberal as I got older, which is probably not the truth. Now, right now, don't we always talk about the old white guys or the right wingers? Well, not all old white guys. I'm an old white guy. But you tend to become more conservative as you get older because you like the way things were going along, and you don't want change nearly as much when you're older. I feel that, but I know it's not, in my mind, it's not the right way to do things. So that's why I am such a lib, as people call me. They cast dispersion upon me by calling me a lib, which I find a perfectly acceptable tag on my name. Okay, let's see. The very first president inaugurated on January 20th, as opposed to March 4th, I believe it was prior to then. The very first president who was inaugurated on January 20th, boy, I have a hard time saying that word, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt back in 1937. Now, you'll remember, he was the president that brought about the 22nd Amendment, which said presidents can only serve for two terms. But he was the very first president inaugurated on January 20th. And the 20th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified in 1933, changed that inaugural date. It took an amendment to change that date because they had placed in the Constitution the date. I'm not sure whether it was considered March 4th all the time or whether it was like the first Monday or first Tuesday of the month. I'm not sure. I should have asked Fred Malone that. And we already talked about the very first inaugural ball, which was held, started by Dolly Madison when they inaugurated James. So, anyway, those are the trivia questions that I have about this inauguration. If you'd like to call, you're welcome to call 740-383-9944. We're talking about the inauguration. I really enjoyed the entire day. Now, naturally, I would, because my president won. And I got to be very proud and say, tell you when I predicted that that would be our duet at the top of the ticket. I did that on somewhere around November 20th, 2018. A lot of people said I was crazy because it was way before. Well, the people, nobody thought that Biden was going to win then, let alone have a vice president who is not only considered African American or a black vice president, but she also has ties to Southern Asia in her family. And beautiful lady. And what a wonderful laugh. Don't want to be on the opposite side of her anger, though. She seems to be a very strong woman. And more power. More power to strong women. My wife is a very strong woman. That's, I guess, why I kind of like our new vice president. I've always liked stronger women. I don't like having to tell to know what to do all the time. Sometimes I want my partner to tell me what to do, and my wife does all the time. I hope she's not listening. She'll be mad about it, that I told you that. Which president wore a ring to his inauguration? Now, this is a cool one. Which president wore a ring to his inauguration that contained a lock of hair from Lincoln's head after he was shot? Kind of scary that that we know this. Which president wore a ring to his inauguration that contained a lock of hair from Lincoln's head after he was shot? Theodore Roosevelt. He wore this ring that contained a lock of hair. Now, back in those days, they had rings like that. My grandmother left me what people called a poison ring. And it was a ring that you could open the front of it, and I guess you could put poison in it if you wanted to. You know, if you wanted to have strychnine in there, you could. But you could put anything that you wanted to have with you at all times inside this ring and carry it with you. Well, President Theodore Roosevelt carried a lock of Lincoln's hair to the inaugural. Now, let's see. That was what year did I say that was? I guess I didn't say what year it was, but it was probably 40-some years after Lincoln was shot, so I don't know how they got that. That must have been a hand-me-down from somebody. It was more common back then to take locks of hair of famous people upon their death, or before their death, for that matter. But back then, it was a lot more common than it is now. Okay. I'm looking to see if I have any that I forgot to tell you about. Whose was the bicentennial inauguration? Do you remember the bicentennial back in 76, 1976? But that was not, that was when we celebrated the bicentennial. This one was the bicentennial inauguration, which means the 200th anniversary of inaugurations. So that would have been the first inauguration, if I recall correctly. Where did I say that? When did I say that was? Well, I can't find my notes on it. But anyway, the bicentennial of it was in 1989. That was 200 years after the inauguration of George Washington. It was George H.W. Bush's inauguration, was the bicentennial inauguration of our president. Pretty interesting. Well, we've got about 6 more minutes, and if you have anything that you want to, we can still take a tchotchke or two and sell them for you if you're interested. Or I mentioned an event that you're trying to get publicized, 740-383-9944. Or we can just shoot the bull That's kind of what we're doing today. I had all these ready to go yesterday, and then Dr. Feynman gave me a message on my phone that his interview with people in England had ended, and that the inauguration speech ran short. Well, it wasn't terribly short, but it started early, so he was able to come on with us yesterday, and I had planned all these trivial things for that half hour, so we get to have them today. Don't forget to join us next week at this time, during the morning session, on the air. We will have James Anderson, the Marion County naturalist, our guy that knows everything about critters, and he knows an awful lot about all the critters and the plants, the flora and the fauna of Marion County. And he's made me a lot smarter. Well, I'll tell you what, between him and Fred Malone, I have become 100% smarter about everything. Jamie Harrison, by the way, just got a note that he's the new Democratic National Chairman. So that's Jamie, I believe, was running for office. I think he was running for Lindsey Graham's position and lost. So he's going to be the new chairman of the Democratic Party. Couldn't remember what they were called. Parties. I hope that you've all recovered from all the rioting and stuff that went on in Washington, D.C. There have been an awful lot of new footage that we've seen, and they have at least over 1,000 people that they're looking into, something like that, and they already have identified what 200, maybe 300 of them, and not convicted but charged around 100 of them. So we're going to have a lot of struggle here for the next few months, trying to get back together and find a way to pat each other on the back and give each other a handshake. And we probably shouldn't do that, though, until after we get rid of this COVID. There were 17 executive actions signed yesterday by the president, and he's signing more today. There's a commitment to getting a handle on COVID and making sure that we get the shots out and get them in people's arms. It doesn't do any good to make sure you have the vial sitting on the shelf. You have to take the medicine and put it in people's arms. And I'm ready to go. I'm not sure my wife is. Actually, she gets to go in the group ahead of mine. She's a few months older than I am, and it happens to be right at the break. So she gets to go a little earlier if she wants to. I'm not going to force her to. I've been trying to force her to get her flu shot for years, and sometimes she does and sometimes she doesn't. But she doesn't go out of the house very much. The only time she goes out of the house is to take the dog out. I do all the grocery shopping anymore. Especially now with the COVID running so terribly rampant, I'm very careful. I go out about once a week, and that's it. Go out of the house to come do the show, but there aren't very many people here. Matter of fact, there's nobody here but me. I have the door locked. No, I really don't. I'm hoping that we'll start to see an improvement. I guess there were 4,100 people died yesterday, which was the highest that we've had in a single day. Hopefully, we can get a handle on that. I'm not sure how long it's going to take, because there's always kind of a lag, isn't there? You have a holiday, everybody goes out and doesn't wear their mask and hangs around too close, and so those people get sick, and then the lag is 2, 3, 4 weeks later, we start having more deaths. We got to be a little smarter about that. I'm not sure why we insist on being ignorant about taking care of ourselves. I guess a lot of people think it will never happen to them. As you get older, you start to realize you don't know. So anyway, please take care of yourself. We need you back here listening to the show. And we're just about out of here. We got about 15 seconds left to go, and I hope you have a wonderful week. And make sure to come back and visit us next week, Wednesday. I have my A Progressive Life, and next Thursday we'll have James Anderson. Have a good day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.